Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 7th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, photography, dollars, and cents. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I want to talk about photography and money today, and specifically using photography to make money. And the reason why I want to tackle this topic today, I know we touch on it here and there, but the reason why I want to revisit it today is because I read a very interesting article on sportsshooter.com, and sportsshooter.com is a terrific website. If you've never been there, I think you might enjoy it. And the title of the article is How to Fail as a Photographer, and is talking about making money. Now, the article is written by Alan Mirabayashi, and I hope I said his name correctly. And he's kind of an interesting chap himself. He basically is the CEO of Photo Shelter, and he's also one of the founding employees, or the founding employee of HotJobs.com, and he's a photographer. So he is one of these people that is very much involved in the business side of things and in the aesthetic side of things. And so Alan put together this article that I thought was really terrific. And basically what he's doing here, and he's telling you how to fail as a photographer. And the reason why he says he's doing that is, I'll say it right here. Now, I'm going to quote from Alan's article. Again, this is on sportsshooter.com, and it's written by Alan Mirabayashi. Self-help gurus want to sell you on success. I prefer to do the opposite. I'd rather tell you how to fail, because failure is more insightful. What's more, you're probably already on your path to failure. You're already doing the things that increase your chance of failure. And by the end of this article, I hope you're so livid at me that you'll change your trajectory. So without further ado, here's how to fail as a photographer. So then what Alan does is that he takes a lot of the things, the beliefs that we have, or maybe some of the truisms we've heard in photography today, and then sort of addresses them, and a lot of times punches holes in them. And what I'd like to do today is just kind of go through Alan's article again. And again, this is on sportsshooter.com, How to Fail as a Photographer. I'd like to go through his article and just talk a little bit about it, because there were some things that I thought he was just dead on accurate, and there's a few other things like that sort of depends, kind of. So first of all, you know, he starts out, and this is a really good way to start out. Shoot consistently. And I'm going to read some of Alan's text again. The hallmark of a professional is their ability to perform a task consistently. You shoot consistently. So consistently that your skills as a photographer has not progressed in years. You accept mediocrity not because you're a loser, but because you don't make time to improve. Now, this is pretty good, right? So, on one hand, shooting consistently has been one of those things that we've heard. This is what you do to create your look, right? You know, you create a look, and then people know your photography, and then that's sort of your brand, and then that allows you to kind of climb up the business ladder in this medium. And I think having a look is a good thing. It is a good thing. This is not what he's talking about, though. What he's talking about is where you begin to put things on autopilot in your shooting. Now, I got to experience this a little bit myself. For years, I shot conferences, events, big technology events. I was on contract for O'Reilly Media, and I would shoot all their technology conferences. And it's so funny because I just had a coffee the other day with the guy that's doing that now. His name's James Duncan Davidson. He's a great photographer, and he sort of took over the reins after I gave up that contract. And we were talking about this, and he was saying, yeah, you know, I think I can do it for a few more years. He's been at it for a while now. And I said, I know what you mean, because after a while, you sort of feel like you're taking the same shots over and over again. And so then we talked about, well, how do you stay fresh, right? How do you look for different shots? How do you let the client know that you need to shoot different shots and that maybe they want different shots in their offering and, you know, in their deliverable? It was a pretty good discussion. And the bottom line is, in order to stay good, you have to get better, if you know what I mean. You have to continually to try new techniques, new angles, try to stay fresh and not get in that rut where you're on autopilot. And this is especially true if you're the type of photographer that's shooting certain types of subjects or events over and over again. If you're a football photographer or a sports photographer that shoots a lot of football, you know, you're vulnerable to this. If you're an event photographer, if you shoot a lot of weddings, you're very vulnerable to this. In order to get better, in order to catch people's attention, you need to shake it up. You need to continue to try to create fresh images. And so what Alan is saying here about shoot consistently, just beware of the trap that you may fall into if you are shooting consistently. Make sure that you're not on autopilot. And I think he really raises a great point. Now, the next thing that his number two is kind of fun. And you'll see why I think it's kind of fun and why I have this sort of a smile on my face. Number two, create a blog. Now, you know, this is, you know, under the title of How to Fail as a Photographer, right? Create a blog. And I'm going to read some more of Alan's prose here. It's the information age, the age of the internet. Get online. Print is dead. Build a blog. You spend hours and hours building a blog, believing that it's a must in today's world. Got to be SEO, dude. It ain't going to work. Why? Because nobody wants to read your blog, and no one is. Your blog is not an online journal. No one cares if you hit a creative rut and decided to shoot a picture of a flag through a raindrop. I don't care if seeing Bert's work inspired you to rent a 4x5. No one gives a rat's ass about your crappy Polaroid. The crappy Polaroid is called practice, and you shouldn't show anyone. And then he goes on to talk about the blog. Now, okay. I have to tell you, you know, the digital story, you know, the podcast that you're listening to right now, it's a blog, right? I mean, I post every day. I do a podcast. You know, we do other stuff too. Essentially, it's a blog. And in my case, I will tell you that having a blog has really benefited me because I get stuff from you. I see your pictures. When I do the photo assignments, I look at your work. When I go through the grab shots, I see, you know, the world through your eyes. When I have to come up with a podcast, I really have to think long and hard of, you know, what's interesting and what you might be interested in. When I do my daily posts, again, I'm always sort of pushing myself to find something good and interesting. And as a result, and again, I'm speaking for me here, but as a result, I have become a better photographer because my gears are always turning. I'm always looking for something new and fresh and interesting, and then I take what I consider the best of that and apply it to my work, and then the other stuff, you know, I leave behind. And so sometimes I don't actually have to experience something to know that it's not for me because of my experiences through other people. So the blog for me has been a very good thing, and I think has made me a better photographer. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a point here. That doesn't mean that Alan doesn't have a point here. And I think what he's talking about a lot is distraction. And you can apply distraction to more than just a blog. You can apply it to all sorts of stuff. And believe me, we are all vulnerable to distraction. And so, you know, he has a line in here that I think is kind of funny. Don't give me any crap about how it's cathartic to write. Write in a journal. Don't put it online. Take some pictures instead of updating your Twitter status every 5 minutes. No one cares, and it's not making you any money. Again, I think he's really talking about letting yourself get distracted, and so therefore you're not getting your work done. And your work is, you know, being a photographer. So I would modify his saying not so much to, you know, don't write a blog or don't do this or that, but whatever you do, keep in mind, you know, where your income comes from, and make sure that that's your number one priority. Make sure you stay focused on that, at least during work hours, right? And then outside of work hours, do whatever you want. Be creative, you know, enjoy things, try all this stuff, but be disciplined and keep your eye on the ball, and don't let something like a blog, especially during work hours when you're supposed to be making money, take you away from what you're supposed to be doing. So I think it's good advice. You know, his example doesn't apply to everyone. Hopefully it doesn't apply to me, but his point, very well taken. Now, here's another thing that, and this is something that actually I even wrestle with. So his number three point, and again, this is, you know, Alan's article on sportsshooter.com, How to Fail as a Photographer. Work really hard for your $300 day rate. And I just have to smile when I read some of this prose by him. The time and effort it takes an individual to build a $100,000 business and a $1 million business is the same. If you're a sole proprietor and you're working your ass off to make $100K, I guarantee that some jerk just made $1 million with the same effort. He's just smarter than you. So the fact is, either you really love photography or you're an idiot. That isn't to say that you're capable of creating a $1 million business, because you're not. This isn't an indictment of you, it's just a fact that there are some finite number of opportunities in the world to create businesses of this size. But the point is that you need to think about how you're spending your time and whether the incremental efforts are worth it. Why work so hard for $300 when there are $500 jobs? Why work so hard for $500 jobs when there are $1,000 jobs? The newspaper might have a small fixed budget for photography, but the newlyweds have a much bigger budget because people only get married once, or twice, or three times, but not every month. Good, good advice. And this is talking about pricing. And I go over this with my photo assistants all the time. You know, almost everyone that works with me as a second shooter has their own photography business. I just prefer people who have already made the leap as second shooters, because I think they make better second shooters. You know, they're more serious, they're committed. So, but all the time we talk about how to price a job, and sometimes the logic is, well, you know, I'm brand new, I don't have a lot of confidence, so I should price really low, and then as I get better, I'll price higher. Well, okay, I understand the logic there. I think first thing you need to do, though, is find out where you really are on the scale of good photography. And I think you need someone else to help you with that. And that's one of the reasons why I do take on second shooters, to help them get a sense of how good or how much they still have to learn. So chances are, if you're a good photographer, if you can deliver the goods, if you can do a wedding and execute it in a business-like manner, and that means have good client relations, do a shot list beforehand to make sure that you're very clear on what they want, execute that shot list, deliver the shots regardless of what happens during the course of the day. If you're able to, and do this all in a timely manner, if you're able to do all of that stuff and the photography looks good, then you're a good photographer. So don't undersell your work. Don't do weddings for $500. Please. And this is not only for you. This is for all of us, right? Because if you're doing weddings for $500, that means that people know there's someone out there that will do weddings for $500. And then that way, when someone else comes, if I come in and I'm cheap for a wedding photographer, you can, a lot of times I'll shoot you know, an easy wedding for $2,500. But if my client knows that someone will shoot the same wedding for $500, then that puts me in a difficult position too. Why is my wedding $2,000 different? And then, of course, you know, weddings really often, you know, if you're delivering prints and building wedding albums and doing all this kind of stuff, then you should be up around $4,000 or $5,000 for the wedding. On and on and on. And then if you're a premium shooter, you know, you should be getting up around $10,000 for a wedding. So, and there's no limit. I mean, whatever you think is you can justify, and that your clients will pay is something, you know, to think about and consider. My point is, don't undersell your work, because not only does it undersell you, it's not good for all photographers. A wedding, I think a wedding is a great example. A wedding is a very complicated thing. There's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of work that goes into a wedding before, during, and after. And it takes a lot of skill, and it takes a lot of equipment, and it takes a lot of composure. So why would you shoot a wedding for $500? I mean, when that means that you're basically pricing yourself out at $500 for more than 2 days' work, because one day for the wedding, and then there's at least another day's work, often a lot more. So suddenly you're doing a wedding for, or doing any photography work for $250 a day or less. Chances are, if you're really keeping track of your time, you're doing all this for $100 a day. That's just not right. That's not right for you or anyone else. Now, what Alan is saying is that, you know, make sure not only that you're not doing what I'm talking about here, which is really underselling your stuff, but also consider that you may be able to charge more for your photography, especially if you find good clients. And he kind of gets into that later. So the bottom line here, at least my bottom line, is don't undersell your photography, and really think about, you know, how much your time is worth and how much your product is worth. I'm going to skip over to read as many business books as possible. This is another fun one here. And he has three good points here that he makes about business that I want to make sure that you hear this. So the academics of good business are incredibly simple. Again, I'm reading Alan's piece here, How to Fail as a Photographer. And it's on sportsshooter.com. The academics of a good business are incredibly simple. Create a unique value proposition, number one. Number two, ensure that you have a large enough addressable market. And number three, make more money than you spent. Everything else is preventing you from doing a meaningful analysis of your own situation. For example, if you want to shoot weddings in Honolulu as a primary source of revenue, I can almost certainly guarantee you that you will fail, because you most likely cannot get around number one and number two, which is create a unique value proposition and make sure you have a large enough addressable market. But in your excitement about number one makes you lose critical analysis of how many people are actually interested in multimedia wedding presentations in Hawaii. Answer, not enough. Nationwide, not enough. There are ways to be successful. You just need to strive for objectivity in your business analysis. That's a key line right there, isn't it? You just need to strive for objectivity in your business analysis. Reading more books is insightful, and you can never have too much knowledge, but don't lose sight of the three basic tenets. And those are, again, because they are so important, and I totally agree with Alan on this. Create a unique value proposition. That was number one. Number two, ensure that you have a large enough addressable market. And number three, make more money than you spend. So also, if part of your proposition is, you know, traveling all the way across the country to do a $2,000 job, and you're only charging $2,000, then you're not going to make more money than you spend. So anyway, this is good stuff. And I very much enjoyed it. You might want to take a look at the article. You can find it on sportsshooter.com. It was posted on October 3rd, 2008, How to Fail as a Photographer by Alan Mirabashi. And it's really good stuff. And Alan, if you happen to ever listen to this, thank you so much for writing this article, because I think this is the kind of stuff we need out there. All right. A couple little, speaking of business things and speaking of a blog, let's talk about the blog for a moment. First of all, I want to encourage you to send in your grab shots. I've got back in the groove on publishing them, and I've noticed that you're getting back in the groove of sending them to me, so it feels good. Thank you, but let's keep it going. The photo assignment for October is missing. Is missing is the photo assignment, and as you have to the end of the month, and make sure you get that in, because these galleries are just they're fun and they're interesting and they're inspirational too. I get mail from people all the time that thank me for posting them and how much they enjoy them. That means if you contributed to one of these galleries, these people are thanking you for your work. And so it's missing. And if you have any questions about how to submit for the monthly photo assignment, just go to the Digital Story homepage, thedigitalstory.com, and click on submissions, and you'll find the info there. I want to mention our sponsors, Photomagical by Boinks Software, and Expo Imaging, makers of Expo Disc, Red River Paper Company, just fabulous inkjet printing paper, and Lopro. They have a bag for just about anything that you would want. And then also, I want to on a personal note here for a moment, I want to let you know that today is a wonderful day for me in the business world, because today I shipped my book to the printer. Yes, it is on its way right now to being printed, which means I will have it back in about 3 weeks. Because we've already gone through all the production, all the layout, all the proofreading, all the everything. And I really like this book, and I'm really looking forward to talking about it. It is called The Photoshop CS4 Companion for Photographers. This is what we call a day-and-date book, which means that when the software is released by Adobe, Photoshop CS4, the book will be ready. The book will be available. I've never done this before. I've never been asked to do this before. And it was a heck of a challenge, because you're working with beta software the whole time that you're writing the book. So you just like really dig into something. And then, of course, you always get the email, the new build is ready to download. And, of course, it's a big thing to, you know, get rid of the old build and download the new one and then see what's changed and all that sort of stuff. So it's very exciting stuff. But at the same time, I have to tell you that, and I know I've mentioned this before, I love this version of Photoshop. They did such a wonderful job for photographers. There are so many good things in here, and it was really a joy to write this book. And I really wanted to talk about it more once Adobe actually releases the software, and I can start getting into some of the details that I can't talk about right now. But this is a fun book. It will fit in your laptop bag. I really wanted you to be able to take it with you when you're on the road, and so that you have a reference that you can look at in a hotel room or on a plane, or visiting mom's house, or whatever you're doing, and you want to do some processing of your images. So good stuff. I'm going to have a Coke Zero right now. Then maybe I'll go take some pictures somewhere. I hope you have a good week. See you back here next week. We'll have more good things to talk about. Until then, happy shooting. Bye bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.